Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Chris Copper. We're going to do another episode. This will be my last episode of the Indigenous Approach as I am moving on down the old dusty trail and moving out of the Army. And the appropriate topic for today is transition based off of the request from the surveys on the first SFC Facebook page. This is what people wanted to hear about was transition. We assumed they were talking about transitioning out of the Army and not any other type of transition. So we're going to run with this topic. I've got two phenomenal guests today, both personal friends, across the regiment, are known and have a pulse across the whole group, or excuse me, all the groups. Solid dudes. I've got Master Sergeant retired Jim Rooney and Sergeant First Class retired Bill O'Brien, aka OB, aka Wild Bill, aka William H. Bonney. But I've got two phenomenal guys to talk about transition. They're both doing phenomenal things in their post-Army life. And it provides a between the three of us, I think a diverse path. And a pretty wide left and right limit for what to do afterwards. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Jim. Jim, it's all yours.
Hey, glad to be here. And I think this is a really important topic. But just a little bit of background on myself. I came from conventional, did some conventional time, and then I served most of my time in third group. And then spent my last couple of years up at USASOC headquarters working for Lieutenant General Baudette. And in total time was 27 years active federal service. So I'm about a year out of retirement, and I currently work at Booz Allen Hamilton as a civilian digital battlefield solutions integrator. I stay connected with the military, but I don't have to be knee deep in the policies. So I it's my way of kind of giving back. Glad to be here, Billy.
Thanks, Jim. Let me go ahead and follow that up. But Bill O'Brien, I did 6 years regular Army. Rest of the time, I was here at Bragg at third group. Proud of it. Thanks, Chris, for having me. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart because it was a struggle for me. I got through it and I came through it, and helping other people through it is something that I'm very passionate about. So thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks both of y'all. Like I said, again, for taking the time to come on. I've been wanting to do this since we started having these candid conversations and talk about transition, because I think it's important to almost everyone, because it's inevitable that it will happen. You're going to transition out of the military one way or the other. And, statistically, you're going to do it just like this, on your two feet, out the door with and into the next thing. So, for those that have never heard this program, my name is Master Sergeant Chris Copper. I'm coming up on 20 years. I'm retiring this year. I started out in 275, had a little bit of time in the regular Army myself, and have been in SF the last 12 years. And I'm going through what these guys have gone through the last 24, 36 months now. Currently, and I've reached out to both of them. I've worked with Jim professionally in this job, working human performance and wellness, and I've known Bill for God, probably almost 13 years. And I've reached out to both of them, and as well as others who are going through this and have gone through this and are further down the path on how to navigate my own journey. So, we're going to dig into this and try to put some dialogue on the topic, and hopefully, as Master Sergeant Josh Thompson says, if we can help one, it's worth it, so starting off, I think to kick this off, nowadays we see the transition seminars. Jeff Dardia, he's been doing it at third group. He's been huge at reaching out across the regiment with his meta. Each of the groups has a transition program that is tied with AA, either in some aspects of GS, but mostly a green suitor that's leading that. And it's a new initiative. But, you know, transition is definitely on the minds of the command. I know at USASOC, they just hired Miss Bridget Bird. She's taken over as the USASOC coordinator. She came from the Army's SFL TAP program here at Bragg. You know, super open mind about, you know, new ideas that building off of what the Army already has. You know, the 7th Group's got a good pace. And frankly, all the groups are doing something with transition because all the groups do something are all similar because they're all SF groups, but have a different flavor. So, you know, there's some civilian nonprofit, you know, I know Paul Tulin and, Drew Stamp, both, you know, Paul Tulin retired, colonel. And Drew Stamp, retired Sergeant First Class, both phenomenally smart dudes. I know they've tied in with the SF Charitable Trust, and they're working their program through, help me, I'm drawing a blank, Janus 101. You know, and that's phenomenal. And the key thing, though, that comes out of all these transition pieces that they're talking, hey, 36 months. I mean, even regular Army, I think I got an email from HQDA saying, hey, 36 months, you need to be starting that brake throttle modulation methodology with your job and transition. You know, and some people, my wife even thought that was nonsense, right? 36 months out when I started talking this retirement piece, you know, she couldn't comprehend it, but it did make sense, kind of, and it's something I've followed. What about y'all? What's your take on all that I just said?
I'm glad you brought that up, Chris. So two things. One, in reference to the timeline, the 36 months, that's accurate. And I would say, you know, everything I say is from personal experience. So I had some really good people around me. So first, let me set the stage here. I had a very positive transition experience because I had great and supportive people around me. That includes on the home front and professionally. I had everyone in my chain of command that was encouraging and sometimes forcing me to take care of myself and do the right things for myself and my family. And I'm sure Billy's going to echo that. But it starts much sooner than 36 months out. Your transition experience is going to depend on what you want at the end of it. And again, you know, Billy and I are a year out of retirement, so we're still in a honeymoon phase. I truly think you don't fully grasp the difficulty, like Billy said, until about the 5-year mark, because we're still somewhat connected and we still have reach back. When we lose that reach back and we lose those connections, and then we start to feel isolated. So when we transition, we don't just transition out of the military. We transition from job to job. We transition from environment to environment. You know, transition is an ongoing process, and it starts when you first join the service. Every 3 years, every 4 years, you're going to transition. With that, you should be thinking about transition from day one. But a realistic timeline, and again, because I had good people around me, Command Sergeant Major retired Terry Peters helped me, literally hand-carried me through the transition process along with A.J. Kibbe, and I'm grateful for them. But it started 48 months out. The total timeline of Terry Peters' transition timeline from 3rd Group Warrior Fund is 4 years. It's 2 years prior and 2 years after. And the reason that model is so effective is because the 2 years prior, they're working nonstop to help you out. It's like an SFL tap on steroids, but it's enduring, right? And so everything, all your worries, all your concerns, because it is hard. It's difficult. It's frustrating. You know, it's a lot more difficult mentally than people realize. Physically, we can kind of overcome that. But you start 2 years out, you get the stage set, and then right up until about a month prior to me physically being off of transition leave, I still was greatly concerned and said, I don't have a job, Terry. What's going on? Don't worry. And sure enough, you know, you land on your feet. Anyone with half of a will to want to make it is going to land on their feet. They're going to make as much money as they want. They're going to have the quality of life they want. And then now, because I had such a great transition experience, I volunteer my time back. And so I'm in one of my 2 years giving back. I volunteer for Terry Peters. I volunteer to come and speak at the Meta Transition Seminar for Jeff Dardia because I enjoy it. So somewhat I do it, you know, selfishly, because it helps keep me engaged. And so I'm not taking all of Billy's thunder. I'll close it with this, but there's a lot of variables we can offshoot from this. The key takeaway that I've found is have good people around you. Don't worry, you're going to land on your feet, because it is going to worry you, and it's okay to say I'm worried. And you don't have to have a plan for everything. I didn't know how much money I wanted to make. I didn't know what job I wanted. And we all default to, well, I'll work, you know, doing some sort of tactics or PSD or, right? Because that's what we know. We know guns. We know tactics. We know planning. But I wanted a clean break. I wanted to be disconnected. I'm grateful for my service, but I didn't want to be that person that was trying to reach in and hang on with one hand or keep one foot in the door. Those are the folks that I see now that are struggling, that are still trying to keep their place in the military. That's done. That's a chapter in the past. Be grateful and then move on. So with that note right there, do everything you need to do while in service, while in uniform, because the key to success in transition is looking back and having no regrets. There's nothing I didn't do or didn't attempt to do while I was in the military. So therefore, I don't have any regrets. In talking with other folks, they wish they had one more deployment. They wish they tried out for a different unit. They wish they did this or that, or went to this school or whatever. And the two things that I talk about in the Meta Transition Seminar are find your purpose and find your motivation. Your purpose is just what makes you want to get out of bed in the morning, right? And it's different for every single person. Your motivation is going to be one of two things, time or money. There's no other. Others are variables or subcomponents of those two. Either you want time with your family or time away from your family, or you want to make a lot of money or you want to make less money and have more time with your family. It's a balance. I have plenty of friends that want to make a ton of money and they're good with being gone when they retire. I said I don't want to be gone because I missed too much in my family's life, so I chose to take a smaller salary in order to have flexibility and time. So what do you think, Billy?
I guess for me personally, it started with like the whole intrepid spirit process because, I mean, that was like from my 2 to 3 years out from my retirement date, I wasn't feeling well. I wasn't performing well, so – once I went through that, and it was kind of an eye-opening and mind-opening experience for me to break that down and everything that, you know, the mental and the physical aspects and kind of like, you know, it, like taking your car and getting it overhauled and getting a rebuild is that what I felt. And I felt refreshed after that, and it set me up for success personally, I think, for my transition, for that motivation, because I felt good. You know, I was performing well, and I just felt like, you know, when you feel like that, you feel like you can conquer the world. So I kind of just took that, and it really set me up, and I kind of ran with it. I wanted to make money. I wanted to double dip. So I started working at Oak Grove, walked out there. I kind of hopped around a little bit, but I guess what really – you know, found my niche after the military was riding dirt bikes and like hanging out with badass dudes, because that's what we do. So it was a good transition from being in the team room to being with, you know, people that are national champions and train with their, you know, that's their goal, whether it be money, fame, you know, same thing in my book. So that bridged the gap for me, and it really like dangled the carrot to keep me going and healthy. So like Jim was saying, I am going to echo the crew that you have around you, you know, your wife, your family. It's important stuff, man. And, you know, it can make you or break you. And you also want to bolster them. You want to build them as you're building and growing. So, it's a team effort. It really is. So you can't put it all on your shoulders. It has to be, you know, your whole camp has to be behind you pushing, because it was rough for me. And I came out and I feel great. And I look back and I love my service, but I don't have no desire to come back on post. You know what I mean? I got other things I got to worry about. But yeah. The brothers are here and all my friends, and you know, I haven't been on post in years, dude. It's been like a year and some change. So, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. And at times I do miss it, but I'm looking forward through the windshield, man, not in the rearview mirror. So that's kind of how I made it through and how I keep going.
Well, damn, Bill, I feel honored that I was your first to get back on post.
Hey, man, it had to happen sooner or later, bro.
But hey, that's such an important point. I just want to discuss that for a minute. Billy said it. You have to look forward and not look back. So we talked about that, right? Having no regrets. Easier said than done. But what I've found that helps with that is just like Billy said, he found his motivation, which was, you know, his passion for riding dirt bikes. My motivation was giving back and helping others. So how can I give back? How can I serve others and help them succeed? And so that's why I volunteer my time with Third Group Warrior Fund and then Meta Transition Seminar. And then additionally, what am I doing for me, right? Like my mental health. So Billy's riding dirt bikes and killing it. I took up hunting. At 49 years old, I never hunted a day in my life because the job always took over. And hunting has changed my life. I have been hunting nonstop for the past 2 years, and it's been awesome. And that is my mental therapy. Now, don't get me wrong. All the medical issues we have when we're in, we have to address them when we're out. We can't, you know, you're not a new person once you leave the uniform. You have to be cognizant of that. So you have to find ways to give you that sense of purpose. When we were in uniform, it was easy. To blow off steam, you either deployed or you went to the range and you blasted away or you blew something up. And you came home feeling good, right? You got some stress out. After a good deployment with a lot of kinetic operations, you felt good, right? And then my wife used to joke about it. She said, what are you going to do when you can't deploy? And what's going to be your stress relief? Because you can't do the things you do on deployment in civilian life. You'd be in jail, right? So what is it? We have to find that. And for everyone, it's different. So you get, you know, to the listeners out there, I would say find what makes you want to get out of bed in the morning. You're like, man, I want to do this. I got plenty of buddies that said, I don't want to work another day. They're good on just being retired. And they just work on a farm, like, you know, their own farm, and they hunt. That's it, or fish.
My wife would probably divorce me. As this little bit, I've realized I think if I stay home, or if I was Mr. Mom, you know, or decided to take that role, I think my wife would probably leave me. You know, both of y'all have said so many points when we were writing down trying to keep up, because there's so much to roll off of that, you know. And one thing we failed to mention during introductions is, you know, Bill talking about riding dirt bikes. Now, we're not talking about just riding dirt bikes as a hobby. This dude's out here riding dirt bikes competitively, and I'm going to jack this up. I'm going to fuck it up. It's semi-professionally, amateur professionally.
Yeah, I mean, I ride like 3 times a week, and I would train 5 or 6, you know, days out of the week for at least an hour and a half.
That's my point. Like, you know, for the diversity in this, you know, I've got Jim, who has gone, would you call it corporate route, or, you know,
yeah, business? Industry.
Industry. And then you got Bill, who is riding dirt bikes competitively and, for lack of better terms, professionally. And it's not just once a week or on the weekends. He's training his time. He's dedicating the same amount of time that he did on an ODA or working at SWCC or whatever he did in the military to perfecting his craft, the same as because to perfecting his craft and preparing or feeding his purpose.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hearing what the pro guys do, you know, after we do a moto, then if they're scraping mud off their bike or if they're doing this with that, then I just do it. Because you're just learning from some of the best guys.
Well, it's the same way when you're a brand new 18 Bravo or brand new in the Army. You know, you're looking at your senior, you know, folks who've been around, and you're doing what they do. You're doing like what your team leader did, you know, and you're mirroring the good ones and disregarding the, you know, the jackasses over there, right?
Well, yeah, them guys, they like like to break out some guns and blow off some steam too. So, you know, it's all mutual, dude. Because they look up to me and I look up to them. So we have a good time, man. We do.
Boom.
Good dudes.
Like, you know, and to, like Jim, you know, he's feeding his purpose with, you know, staying connected in his industry, but also helping out, you know, the folks like myself and that are coming up and following his path, you know, currently. You know, talking about the looking back with no regrets, you know, we were discussing this, you know, you brought it up a couple times, but, you know, one thing I think that highlights that I don't know that I've ever heard connected is depression. You know, because when you are looking back with regrets, I think that goes hand in hand with depression, you know, and it kind of manifests itself in a time right now where at this phase in a person's career, you know, it is different for everyone. And the only way I can equate it to is say you've been in the Army 20 years, you know, that's like 20 train cars on one of those CSX trains, you know, the cargo trains. Have you ever heard them stop when they come to a rolling stop? And when they do, all those cars compress and it's a big loud boom. And that's, you know, it's just, that's how I best can relate it for myself. Even when I, you know, knew that was it and I decided I am retiring, I'm done. You know, that was around 18 years. And it was that many cars, just bam. And you become really retrospective, I think, in this time frame, because you're kind of stepping off an escalator moving forward. You know, you're stepping off a fast paced something moving forward, and you have a chance to breathe, see yourself in the mirror, and reflect back over the last two decades of your life. And all too many times, you can start to have regrets over things. And if you aren't focused on something moving forward, then you're absolutely going to have to figure out what you're looking at. And you're more than likely going to naturally look backwards. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Billy said it best. If you don't have something in front of you that entices you, you're going to go with what you know, which is the uniform. Mm-hmm. You're always going to do that. I mean, whether you transition after 10 years or 20, it doesn't matter. You've done it for a long time. Sure. And so it's comfortable to you. And so we all tend to stay in our comfort zone. But I'll tell you, it's tough to break out of that comfort zone and look forward, because the civilian sector is totally different from the military sector. You know, Chris and I were talking about it this morning. Yeah, I'm working right up until the 24th of December, and then I start work back again on 26th December, and then I get New Year's Eve off and New Year's Day.
No more Christmas block leaves, huh?
No more, you know, starting out. Ever since I can remember from being in third group.
Ramadan.
Third group in USASOC, and my wife even misses it. You know, like we get a lot of four-day weekends, or you guys do. I don't anymore. But you get half days starting in December. And then you get 2 weeks block leave, and then it's great that that's taken care of, but you don't appreciate it until you're on the other side of the uniform. I think Billy and I can attest to that, you know, but also too, you manage your schedule, you know? So another thing Chris and I were talking about is, you know, anxiety and depression go hand in hand. So Billy and I went to Intrepid Spirits together, and I think they diagnosed our whole cohort with anxiety and depression. And I'm like, that's crazy. I'm not depressed. I feel great. I love my job. I can't wait to go in and, you know, just crush it for the day. But my focus was always on the job. I neglected my family. And so I guess that kept my anxiety and depression at bay, because I had outlets and I had, you know.
We had a focus.
And then you transition, and now you don't have that. Like, you wake up in the morning, you're like, I remember the first week I was on transition leave. I woke up in the morning, was drinking coffee in my driveway, and I was like, I feel like I need to be somewhere. Right. Some, right. Checking my phone, like, is someone, no one's calling me. So, as you know, and that's not a bad thing. As great as we all think we are, when we transition, someone else backfills us, and you know, that machine keeps on rolling. We think that it's going to go to shit, and no, maybe. But the bottom line is, you can't look back and hang on to that. You got to let it go and hope they do their best. But with that anxiety and depression, you have to learn to address it. And the way to address it for me is like finding an outlet. You know, and so that's why I brought up hunting. Hunting was my outlet. But the other thing is work-life balance, right? So this goes hand in hand with that comment. Everyone always preaches work-life balance. And unfortunately, it's really difficult to do. So working at USASOC, I heard this time and time again. You know, we need to balance the work-life balance. That's easier said than done, because in order to be in special operations and do the job that's required of members in special operations, you have to give 100% and you can't give any less. And it requires you to sacrifice time with your family. It requires you to sacrifice your health, your sleep, you know, your well-being in order to get the job done, in order to complete the mission. That's the nature of the beast. I don't care what anyone says. But I'm telling you from experience, and a lot of folks I speak to echo the same comment, both in and out of uniform. So how do you maintain a healthy work-life balance? There's a way to do it, but it's not – you can't do – it's like trying to go on reverse cycle every other week, you know, day, night. Your body will just shut down. You've just shocked the shit out of your body. So in order to have a healthy work-life balance, you have to manage your battle rhythm and your schedule. So like, hey, man, for the next 3 months, we are balls to the wall. Tell your family like that this is happening. Now, there are times that missions come up and we don't have that luxury. But 80% of the time, we can do that. And if we can do that, we will increase longevity in the force, and we will allow our members, our operators, to stay longer and be happier, healthier, perform better. But what we can't do is say to them every day for the next 365 days, have a healthy work-life balance. It just doesn't work.
Expectation management.
Because you can't be mediocre in this job, right? You have to give 100%. So it requires that sacrifice. And then there needs to be ramp up, and there needs to be pull down sessions too. So you got – and that's both incumbent on the individual and the leadership.
Right. It is personal responsibility, because I know my wife still – you know, gives me a hard time, because, you know, I'll be surprised when we have a 4 day, you know, at times, you know, and then definitely when I was coming up on a team, you know, I just wasn't tracking. And that was a personal failure on my part. So it comes down to personal responsibility on the individual to be, you know, aware of that work-life balance and what that looks like for their family, and to have that, you know, expectation management for themselves from their hire, as well as to give it to their family so they can work through it and have that personal responsibility, or take that personal responsibility, because all too many times I think that we kind of fail to look at it, you know, fail to see it for what that is. Bill, I got a question for you, man. You know, so, you know, we worked together there at the Weapons Committee, and I think you went back to group around 2016. And then, you know, I don't think I saw you for a while. And then all of a sudden, you know, I hear through the grapevine, hey, Bill, yeah, he's out. He's retired. Oh, wow. Well, shit, he's out. What was your – how that – talk me through a little bit of that time frame on, you know, you deciding when you decided versus how long you got out. Because another cool thing about these two is I've got Jim medically retired and Bill regular retired. And that's one thing that is this, you know, huge enigma out there, because people – you know, have almost a pretense to feel like, you know, hey, medical is the way I need to go. And you and I have discussed this, because I'm regular retiring as well. And a lot of it had to do with your advice. And as I've learned, you know, I don't know that I agree with the masses on that. I agree with what you're saying, is that it's about the same. So anyway, yeah, my question to you is how that pathway from the time you went back to group in 16, 15, whatever, to the time you got out in what, 20?
I got 20. This is 2 years. Okay. So this past summer.
Okay.
Yeah, went back to the team, went down range. Wasn't feeling that good. Mm-hmm. Came back. did the Intrepid Spirit thing and then moved over to the sniper committee in the ops debt. That really set me up because I had some cool dudes there. We got our work done. And when we weren't working, I was working on myself. So, you know, I was trying to live healthy, change my diet. Like my cholesterol was out of control. You know, I was just kind of taking control after the Intrepid Spirit thing, which led into me taking control of my retirement. Because everyone's like, you have to do this, you have to do that. Well, I said, well, I've been taking care of my medical stuff. I know what my problems are and stuff like that. So I basically just took that ball and ran with it, you know, all the way to writing my own 4187 and getting my clearing papers the whole way out. The process, from what I understand, but I've never went through the medical process, it is going to be overall the same. You know, you're going to go through your VA checks. You're going to go through your checks from, you know, the Department of the Army and whoever else. But you're in control of what you put down and how you feel. And I don't have to deal with, oh, my, this medical person, I got to pull on this person's cord to get service for the med retirement. I don't know. It just seemed like it was the right thing to do, and it worked out for me. So,
the one positive about regular is you knew the date you're going to be retired. I know my date that I'm going to be retired, so I can backwards plan from that. You and I were actually TDY. I remember it clearly because I was very jealous when you got the phone call and you basically were like, "I got to be out of the Army," and it went 10 days, 7 days or something.
That's right.
We were in JBLM.
We were at JBLM, yeah.
Yeah, and you got the, hey, we were supposed to go to Colorado the next month, and you're like, I'm going to be out of the Army in a week.
Well, it was like in the med process, you had to take 6 or 8 months and backwards plan off of that, and I just didn't understand the process. And I, doing the you know, traditional retirement, I put in my paperwork at that 1 year. It goes up through the channels. You know, it gets signed off by the group. It comes back down, and then I start, you know, seeing stuff rolling. So I had no problem.
That's about how mine's gone thus far. Is you know, I went and saw S1, put my packet in, my retirement paperwork. I sat down with S1 because, you know, I was a little bit concerned about doing math in public
for them leave days.
And permissive TDY and whatnot. So we sat down together, and I think it took 30 minutes. Paperwork went up. I'm still waiting on my orders, but once those orders come, I'll go to the VA 180 days within 180 days, 180 to 90 days, and sit down with them, do my VA claim, and then wait to see if the VA needs to get, I guess, any second opinions on anything I claimed, and they'll set the appointments up, and I'll be waiting at that point for what they give me as a rating after the military. Yeah.
And I guess that leads into setting yourself up financially for success. You know, you're going to have that 100, 110 leave days, whatever you have on the backside of your retirement. So if you can set something up where you can, you know, I mean, it's legal for you to work. Once you sign out on leave that day, I mean, I walked into Oak Grove and was out there OCing. So them 100 days, I was double dipping, and I set a nice cushion for myself, which, you know,
because you were terminal.
Because I was terminal leave.
Yeah.
Now you're setting yourself up, you know, you ain't got to worry about money so much if, depending on, you know, if you're just rolling solo or if you have a stay at home or however it is. So, that was good for me. I wasn't worrying about money at that time. And then I set some aside and, you know, it's always easier when you got a little green back in your pocket.
Well, you know, and that ties into a point because of the fact I've been given the advice that, you know, I could be without a paycheck upon retirement for anywhere from 30 to 90 days if I stick with the time frames that the VA to do my VA claim prior to 90 days out. Because I think if you wait past 90 days, then you have to wait until you're out of the Army to then do your VA claim, is how I understand it. My kid brother just got out of the Army after 8 years, and he's having to do it all on the back end because he didn't submit any VA prior to 90 days. And so now he's going through it while he's you know, enjoying his life as a student down at the University of Alabama, living his best life. Whole other podcast. But point is, you know, you could be without a paycheck. Now, You know, when you go on terminal leave, from my understanding, you're out. You've got a DD-214 in hand, and pretty much the only way – no, you don't.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. you're shifting gears out the gate.
You're out.
Later.
The only way you're going to come back in is if you go out and you step on it and you get in trouble. You can get pulled back in, and I've heard that actually happening where you get pulled back in and, you know, the Army will give you a nice little court-martial on the way out or whatever the case may be. But for all intents and purposes, when you're on terminal leave, you are done and you're out of the Army. And, you know, I've even heard, you know, you don't hear JAG say yes much. And I've even heard them say when asked, can you work on terminal leave, you know, I've heard them say yes, or at least walked away from that interaction, understanding that
they're correct on that. Yeah, Billy's right. So you get your DD-214 the day you sign out. So you literally, just like Billy said, the next day can start working. That's if you're an NCO. If you're an officer, you cannot work while on transition or terminal leave. Are they calling it transition leave now? When I was getting out, the word terminal was too.
It's kind of rough. Terminal, yeah.
So they said it's called.
It hurt some feelings.
Right. So now it's called transition leave. But that's part of the mental. Transition out. The another point too I wanted to bring up is, I was fortunate enough to be able to run the Team Sergeant Assess and Prep pilot. So, and Chris and I joined forces right after I started, or actually, you know, right.
I just jumped on your coattails with that a couple. Held on.
General Baudette, when he was still active, said, hey, how do we make better team sergeants in the SF regiment? And one of the things we came up with collectively, I just happened to be the one running the pilot, was a team sergeant assess and prep pilot. So I got to go to every group minus 10th group because that's – you know, obviously, I was on transition leave at that time, but I went to every SF group. I started here at 3rd Group, and we ran a one-week pilot. And so I got to see their entire program of leadership development, mentorship, human performance and wellness was paramount in all of this. And every group within the SF regiment has a great focus, and this was – you know, this was a year and a half ago, so I'm hoping it's still the same. They have a great focus on human performance and wellness and the individual and making that individual better. I think all of us, myself included, don't take advantage of the resources that are available or don't know how to use them. I just didn't know how to do it. It's easy for me looking back in. I'm like, oh, man, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. But that's part of that healthy transition process is get engaged with your human performance and wellness directorate. And then – and whatever else they have because, you know, all of them have great things going on. And then stay engaged. And you don't have to wait until you're hurt. You don't have to wait until you're 36 or 48 months out. You know, get into it now and then keep consistent with them. And that will help with your transition out as well.
So I can tell you, you know, you said, you know, you think it's still the same that it was 18 months ago. I can tell you it's not. It's actually improved. I think it's improved. Because it's in and out from any, you know, not because of me or, but because it's taking effect over there. It's taking effect at the groups. And what I've noticed is a generational shift in our regiment. Because you know, sergeant majors, you know, commanders are now, you know, coming into, these positions that have come up through the days, the last 20 years of the, you know, the GWAT of deployment, of the rag cycle, of the whatever. And, you know, like everything else, our leaders are younger and they see it and they believe in it, they have buy-in. Not saying that the leadership prior to that didn't, but, you know, CSM Munter was on a podcast, in the last year after he went through one of the programs like Intrepid. But, you know, he's seeing it at 30 years in. You know, you have group sergeant majors, group commanders that are bought in 100%, and they're at that level of reach to the force, and they have that buy-in. Whereas, in the past. You know, it wasn't normal. Human performance and wellness. You worked hard, trained hard, drank hard, party hard. You know, and just ran. You didn't sleep.
Well, also, our peers. You wouldn't 10 years ago, you wouldn't go to your peers and say, "Hey, I need to take a knee." Taking a knee was a dirty word.
I need to take a sleep study.
But now. Now it's not a dirty word. I mean, no. I have seen nothing but support from peers, leadership, when you say, hey, man, I need some help. And again, that's like Billy said, that's an important part of transition. You have to take care of yourself. Don't wait to get out to address a medical or mental issue.
Because that transition, that time frame, you're like fragile. So if you start down the wrong path, you might not come back from it. And that's just the truth, man.
Exactly.
It's tough. People start hermiting and whatever they're doing, if they're popping pills or boozing hard in the AM, those are things that are – it's not healthy,
Or even in the PM. That's the thing too, Like just that work hard, party hard mentality, it wears out at some point.
Well, that's our generation.
Right? It is. But, I'm hitting – two of us are in our 40s. But, you can attest, you can remember this a decade ago, Jim, but that 40-year-old transition, that's a tough transition. I mean, it's just, you're no longer a kid anymore. It really can be because you're no longer a young adult. You're an adult, period, and you're on the shy side of, getting that middle age, I guess. And you're starting to have, kids very well could be going off to college, they could, be in that realm, or you could be having kids late like myself. And, I've got youngins, but bottom line, you see some of your own mortality. My cholesterol has been a little high, you see it.
And not only that, Chris, you're right, but you got to remember your families have been traumatized by your service. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, we've all volunteered,
you say,
right?
Affected, so or traumatized.
Traumatized. Anytime if you have sacrificed weekends, if you have deployed, if you have suffered losses of teammates, your wife has suffered, your kids have suffered just as much as you, if not more. And I say this from personal experience. My wife and my children, endured quite a bit. They never signed up for this. I did. But they didn't. So they were shotgunned into this environment and these multiple deployments and multiple teammates being lost. And they had to deal with all that back here at home. Now in transition, I still struggle with my family because they're guarded. They're different now, right? If we had never served in the military, they'd never been exposed to the trauma that we exposed them to. And it doesn't have to be that you had a teammate killed. It's the constant stress of 100% focus at work and lives are on the line and blah blah blah. That wears on them heavily. And so, now you have to find, as a civilian in the transition side of it, you have to find a way to connect with your wife and kids so that you break through that barrier of trauma. What do you think, Billy?
You definitely need to take what you've been through and how you've been worn down and not wear on them, not project it to your family, So that's a lot when you're trying to digest it and get out of the military and you're stressed out and, you think it's the end of money and the end of all this stuff that you're making up in your head. Well, it quite could be, but it isn't. So you don't want to drag them down with you. So you need to build each other up and be positive and engage in them positive things, like you're saying, with your family and spend that quality time.
Yeah, and what's going to detract from that right there, because this is such an important part of transition, a healthy home life. If that's what you want, if you want to keep your family together, this is important. Like Billy said, if you're popping pills or boozing it up hard – because now you're a civilian and you have no accountability and you're like, hey, screw it. I'm just going to tear it up. The thought process could be, I don't have anything to get up to look forward to tomorrow. So why not just empty this bottle tonight, right? Well, that's the wrong mindset, because that's going to wear on your family even more. That's not building them up. That's not supporting them. And you know what? All it does is bring you as a unit, meaning your family unit, down. So you're like, hey, I'm not affecting anybody but me. On the contrary, you're affecting everybody around you. So huge, man. And I got to tell you, like, transition is really difficult. To this day, I'm a year and some change out. I still struggle every day. So you're not free and clear, but you just have to make sure you pay attention to it and live a healthy lifestyle, do what makes you happy. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I'm able to be with my family every day. I bring my son to school every morning. I mean, I've got a routine now, and it doesn't involve coming into Fort Bragg. And again, like Billy said, I loved my service, but I don't have to. I thought I'd be itching to come back onto Bragg. I get invites from my buddies. Hey, come out to the range with us and shoot. I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. You know, because then you're that guy that's always trying to hang on. And for me, mentally, that's not healthy. Now, if a buddy said, hey, want to go shoot for a weekend? Sure. You know, it's different. But I don't want to go, you know, jump in a razor and do a full mission profile with these guys. No, man. I'm out. I'm a civilian now. And I'm happy about that.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, too. I mean, in my own personal experience, you know, these last couple years, just 2 years, has really been interesting because – you know, even though I'm still active duty, I'm not on an ODA. You know, I'm not on a team doing SF team stuff, right? And I've talked to other folks that are working on staff or working at, you know, components of SWIC or just working in some of those jobs that are out there that aren't, you know, an SF ODA or an ODB. And it's just a different environment and dynamic that also has second and third order effects on the family. I was telling Bill about this on the way in. We were catching up, and you know, my wife and I have had to really stay on top of communicating and working together because it would be very easy to get sucked into a rut or into some issues because, you know, I met my wife midway through my Army career I met her when I was going through the Q course, and then, you know, we were getting married while I was on an ODA, and you know, we spent our early years married with no kids, you know, navigating deployments and TDYs and schools and whatever. And same with kids. And here just recently, you know, in the last 24 to 36 months, I've become, you know, that other dude that is home, that is around, that is, you know, I don't want to say smothering. She would probably say smothering. But, you know, that is making up for lost time is what I've been trying to do, is make up for those lost days. But for her, it's been trying because, you know, in my family's dynamic, she does like it when she has, I don't want to say control so much, but when she has the, in case she's listening, I'll pay for this later. But, it, you know, she has the kids' schedule because they do, you know, how she wants them to roll. It's that when I have them, you know, I maintain it, but it doesn't always line up with what she wants, right? So, you know, it's so with that, looking into what I'm going to do next, you know, I have chosen what I'm going to do, what gives me purpose, but, you know, it meets my family's needs too. And hopefully will make my, you know, relationship with them, her, you know, continue to grow in a good, positive direction.
Yeah. And Chris, you brought up a good point. So one is like being home all the time. I work from home. I work 100% remote. I travel very, very rarely. And it's difficult. So I had to adopt a different strategy. So now I go to the office in Fayetteville. And I don't have to ever go into an office, but I'll go there for like 2 hours once a week. And it just gets me out of the house. It puts me on a schedule because when I'm there all the time, my wife's like, don't you have to be somewhere? Because, you know, in between meetings or whatever, I'm, you know, I'm playing on my phone, I'm making food, you know, it's difficult. So the other – and so I would recommend that, kind of get into a battle rhythm that allows you to give some space and then ease back in. But, that you know, both the husband and wife need some space, right, especially after transition because it's new, it's fresh. So you don't want to culture shock either side. The second thing that's really helped me that I still do now, and I'm about a year into it, is once a week I meet with someone for coffee or lunch. anybody. You know, I've got people reach out, hey man, let's catch up. Great. Let's go grab a cup of coffee. And it just, it's just an hour out of my day that it takes me away. And I just, I connect, and most of them are still active, and we don't talk about the job. We just talk about life and hunting and families. And that's important. So you kind of see the theme, right? The theme in healthy transition is staying engaged with people, not necessarily staying engaged with, you know, the tactical side of the job. But if that's what you want to do and that's what makes you happy, then do it by all means. You know, so you got to find a, you have to pick your poison.
That was hard for me to stay at home dadding. You know, I'm like, what am I doing? I got nothing to do. I'm running the Swiffer around, man. The counters are straight, dude. It's dress right dress in there. And, you know, like, it's like the opposite of you. My wife, you know, she runs a tight ship, but when it comes to a couple crumbs on the floor, you know, I'm like, I'm freaking out, man. So, but it was tough for me just to be in that role. And I actually find joy in it now of getting like little man off the bus and he sees me. But it, that transition piece from me going, you know, 100% in and out of the office and all that shit to not moving in my head, I'm like, well, I'm just sitting at home. And that's when I went and rode with the boys, you know. We would have an hour shooting the shit on the front and backside, you know, of riding dirt bikes. And that's where everything kind of just started to make sense for me. And I found, you know, I guess the balance is what you're looking for. It's tough to find it, though. And you got to be willing to, you know, let it happen. Don't fight everything because, you know, change is weird sometimes and not welcomed, you know?
Well, you know, I think we've hit a lot of good points in this last hour. You know, and to kind of sum some of this stuff up, you know, as we're bringing this thing from altitude back down to the tarmac, is, you know, there are resources out there. You know, each of these groups are you know, starting transition type programs. You know, the benevolent organizations. I just went to one of their transition seminars for twofold, one for, you know, professionally to take a look at it, and then personally for my own reasoning. And in the big thing that to take away from those that will help, well, from those programs that will help you as an individual figure out what you want to do based off what motivates you, and what both these guys, all three of us, are saying is finding your purpose, you know. And for context, you know, not to get too far down the rabbit hole and put all my business out there, but, you know, I'm starting my internship, if you will. I'm going to be starting the police academy. I'm going towards law enforcement because I want to. I want to do that, you know, because what I found motivated me was, you know, my family, a purpose, serving. I like to, you know, I like that concept. I like, you know, doing something that I feel makes a difference. And, you know, I one day when I'm old, God willing, and laying in some pink, you know, ass sheets somewhere, reflecting over my life, I want to be like, hell fucking yeah, man. But bottom line, like, that's what I found, because family, you know, means more than just time. You know, I've got young kids, and there's real shit going on these days. You know, it's not like the Patriot where you can just all of us can just put our tools up in a trunk and stick it in the attic. And, you know, I guess that's what makes me happy, because I've got something to look forward to. So my regrets, you know, my transition has definitely been like crossing through one of these North Carolina fucking draws, you know, and it was tough. I dealt with some regret. I dealt with some, you know, just dealt with some shit. But, you know, I finally found something, a direction forward, where I could stop looking in the rearview mirror and analyzing the past. Fuck the past. Past is the past. And I can't change the past. I can question, you know, why and question how and, you know, all that shit, but it's a waste of time when I have a purpose and a focus for what I want to do, which was me for this path, was, you know, going towards law enforcement. Now I feel like a young private going to RIP or back in the Q course. You know, I feel like I'm starting over. You know, I mean, my testosterone is probably increasing on its own. All right.
But such an important piece is of what you're saying is that, you know, you yes, find your purpose, find your motivation. But you have to realize that on this side of the uniform, things are really good from like my perspective, from Billy's perspective. And it's not because we're out of the military. I mean, we both loved our time in special operations, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. But it does come with some baggage, right? Your service comes with baggage. You just have to be aware of that. But on the outside, I didn't give up anything that gave me joy. I still PT. Mm-hmm. I still shoot recreationally. I still do all the things that made me happy when I was in, which those were the two primary things, shooting and PT. But so I still do that, just not every day, right? I'm just not doing it as consistent. But that's okay because I found other things to fill that gap. So I'm in just as good a shape, if not better shape, honestly. I don't hurt as much because I'm healthier. I'm you know, and so I'm not wearing on my body as much as when I was in the service. So, I just want to put out that it's really positive on this side of the uniform, depending on how you view it. And then only you can change your happiness. So if you transition out and you're in the dumps, you have great people around you and great resources, but it's going to require your part to want to be happy and healthy on this side. And it's going to be totally different. You're going into law enforcement, professional motocross racing, industry. And here's the other thing. Every 18 to 2.8 years, every 18 months to 2.8 years, people change careers. So whatever job you land when you transition out, you can change. Every year you can change. Companies and big corporations understand this and they know this. And actually, like Google does this thing, they pay you, they say, come work for us for 2 years and we'll help you get the job your dreams. Knowing that while they're there, they're going to entice them and they're going to stay at Google for 5-10 years. So, that's part of the frustration is the concern of what am I going to do when I get out? Don't sweat it. You're a member of special operations. You're going to be fine. You're highly, highly coveted on the outside world because of our mindset. So what we bring to the table is critical thinking, ability to be happy with the 80% solution, get the job done efficiently. Our 50% effort is better than most straight civilians' 100% effort, hands down. And so they'll pay you for that right there. Agree, Billy?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree to a certain extent, but you got to, like you said, take what you learned and yeah, you might be a little frazzled or a little beat up from when the machine spits you out. But if you can take what you have and refine your skills and look back and say, hey, I could have did this better or I should have shut up at this time or maybe I shouldn't have been blacked out drunk running around being a dumbass. If you can refine yourself in a more positive fashion from the stuff that you've been through and the skills that you've learned, you can come out on top doing whatever you want to do. Yeah. Take it and run with it.
Well, I wanted to thank both of y'all for doing this because, I personally, I've talked to both of you over the last year about doing something like this, and both of you came to mind, when this topic came up back then. And I really wanted to dial both of y'all in for this, and it was tough. But, you two are exactly who I wanted because, for those out there listening, these aren't, Boy Scout, SF dudes. Now, what I mean by that is these guys, both of them, in my opinion, I worked with Bill professionally and, it was an honor working with Bill because not is he my friend and we've drank several beers and raised plenty of hell together offline, but just professionally, he was a solid SF dude. Jim, I never met Jim until about 2 years ago, but I heard of Jim Rooney way before that because of just his reputation. But both of these guys are well-rounded folks within the community. Come from this hell-raising background that came into the Army probably with no intentions other than probably not to go to jail. I mean, I, like I said, I, I, I know that for a fact with Bill. And after talking with Jim, I can completely guarantee and believe every bit of that. And they came up and took what the Army had to offer. You know, they took the good and the bad, and they adapted themselves and let it make them, you know, the men they are today, to come and talk about this topic with credibility. I really appreciate it, fellas. You know, I it would have been an honor to get to work with you. I've told you before, I'd love for you to be my team sergeant. this is my last podcast. And that was another reason I wanted to do this, because this is my last one. So, you know, for those of you guys who have listened to one or more than one of these where I've talked, I don't know what you're thinking. I appreciate some of the feedback I've gotten over the last year and a half, 2 years that I've been doing this. And, if you guys have any feedback for the PAO crew here at First SFC, go on their Facebook page, you know, go take their survey. They want to feel the pulse of the regiment. They want to know, you know, what they can do better or how they can provide a good product. If you've got ideas for topics you want to hear from the command, man, tell them you want to hear from. You know, it's lonely at the top, and I've had the awesome opportunity to talk with our chief of staff, Colonel Nelson, and CSM Munter and Chief Ganowski. The CG up here, you know, clearly I don't talk with him much because he's a busy man, but they it's lonely at the top, and they want to engage. So if you want to hear from those guys, you want to hear them on a show, put it on that survey. but feedback, communicate, and take care of yourselves out there. And if you aren't a part of SF Command, you know, you're over in New Sisak, they have HPW. All right. And if your unit, you know, is if you are within USASOC or under the First SFC flag and your HPW, you know, isn't meeting the mark or you don't have access to it, reach out to Master Sergeant Jeff Dardia. You can find him on the Outlook. It's D-A-R-D-I-A. His first name's Gia. It's with a G. It's like Geoff, G-E-O-F-F. So without further ado, we're going to end this. Y'all take care, and thanks. Peace.